Hello, everyone. Welcome to our long COVID seminar. I'm Dr. Helen Burstyn, the CEO of the Council of Medical Specialty Societies. CMSS is a coalition of 55 specialty societies across medicine, including the AAFP, who are collectively committed to advancing the expertise and the collective voice of specialty societies in support of physicians and, really importantly, the patients we serve. This webinar is part of a project funded by the CDC on long COVID education, engagement, and care management. Today, I'm thrilled to be here with Dr. Eric Herman to engage in a brief discussion really aimed at family physicians, really trying to understand some of the basics of long COVID. Dr. Herman is the Chief of Primary Care and Population Health Officer at Oregon Health and Sciences University and a member of our advisory panel on long COVID. Welcome, Eric. We're ready to get started.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. Thanks again. So can you tell us from your perspective, what's the definition of long COVID and how prevalent is it in the United States?
Yeah, that definition has changed over time as we've learned more and try to get greater specificity around it. And it's still somewhat broad, but at the present time, based on kind of WHO definitions, it's an infection-associated chronic condition. And this occurs for long COVID naturally after a SARS-CoV-2 infection. And the criteria state that it should be present for at least 3 months, and it can have different sort of presentation characteristics in terms of its chronological presentation. It can be continuous, it can be relapsing and remitting, or it can be progressive. So that condition state affects more than one or more organs. It is probably more prevalent than people realize. So estimates right now are talking about 7% of all of those who are infected will have long COVID. And that doesn't necessarily speak to the level of severity, but that speaks to how many people actually do experience symptoms. And so you're looking at sort of estimates are currently around 7 million people in the United States, which is pretty sizable.
Really extraordinary, and it's so heterogeneous, which makes detection so much more difficult. Considering the breadth of a family physician's daily work, what's the compelling reason for a family doc to prioritize long COVID among the host of other issues that you face every day?
Well, first of all, the incidence is there. So dimes to donuts, you are seeing it in your practice. You may have some awareness to it, but you may also not be aware of it. Some people who are presenting with other symptomology that may be components of long COVID, whether that's fatigue, depression, cognitive impairment. So, you know, there are definitely going to be individuals in your practice who are suffering from this condition. And the access to specialty care is highly limited, particularly for those that are trying to establish care, or even if they do, the ability to have that follow-up continuity of care, right, which we pride ourselves for in family medicine, it just isn't there. And so this condition affects quality of life in very significant ways for these individuals. And not only with the health considerations, but this also puts great distress on their relation to relationships in their lives, to their finances, to their sense of self-worth, and kind of their hopes and aspirations. And they look to us as, you know, trusted family physicians who have years of building these relationships with them. They need us to join them in this journey, to be there with them, much like we would characteristically do for patients that had depression or post-stroke or dementia. So we pride ourselves in that therapeutic relationship, and our patients who we care for are looking for us to be that guide along that process.
Completely agree. What are the key patient populations from adults to kids that would be most affected by or benefit from this?
You said it right there. You know, it affects everyone. It affects all ages. It just doesn't affect adults. It affects children. We see children who have difficulty going to school, participating in sports, maintaining their college education, et cetera. So the other thing I think it's important to note is that most individuals who have or suffer from long COVID have just had a mild illness in the acute stage. So most people just had a mild infection, kind of under the radar, so to speak. And many, like even a third estimate, have had absolutely no prior conditions whatsoever. So there is some evidence that there are individuals with increased risk. Females, those between 36 and 50, we see a higher proportion of those. And not surprisingly, individuals that come from marginalized communities have higher BMI, unvaccinated, et cetera. But again, I think the salient point here is everyone can be impacted by long COVID.
That's a great point. So with time constraints, and you partially answered this already, Eric, but with time constraints, family medicine has for interactions, it's such a tight schedule for most family docs. Why couldn't they or shouldn't they just refer these patients out as opposed to thinking about what they could do within their own family medicine practice?
Yeah, I feel for everyone who is seeing patients in the mornings and the afternoons with busy schedules and all the pressures that are on us every single day. And it's a daunting task to be, have expertise in just about every condition we see. So that's an intimidating task when you look at it from a long COVID perspective, because it is a complex condition that affects and involves post-exertion malaise, cognitive impairment, dysautonomia. Those are challenging conditions, and I can see why there'd be an instinctual kind of consideration for referring to a high-level specialty support. But there are really some very compelling reasons why primary care and family medicine is uniquely suited to really help patients, guide them through this journey, and in many ways evaluate and manage the mainstay of treatment, including there really is very limited access to specialty centers. Many of them have not been able to support themselves, and that access isn't there. And we know, depending on your community, you may or may not have access to certain specialty groups that you need for dysautonomia, et cetera. And second of all, patients are going to need help understanding in between these visits to a specialist if you do refer. I'm having new symptoms. Is this long COVID or is this not long COVID? Is this POTS or am I having an MI? Is it brain fog or an acute neurologic event? Is it a new rash or is it pityriasis rosea? So they're going to need your guidance to be able to understand what is part of the chronic condition and what is not. And then I think even most importantly is family medicine is expert at longitudinal care and those trusted relationships. We need to be there for all these other difficult chronic conditions that we see patients for, to coordinate the care, to make sure patients understand they have brain fog. How am I supposed to navigate all these different referrals and medications and pacing when I have so much upon me? And we need to be there for these ups and downs. Long COVID will go and relapse and remit, most characteristically. And so when patients get demoralized, when they think they're doing well, they try to push themselves and they exceed their physiologic capabilities and then they crash. They have that exhausting post-exertional malaise, chronic fatigue, and it's demoralizing, and it just eats their self-esteem. And we need to be there to let them know that this is what we see as a prognosis and how they can continue to recover, and this will get, to continue through that process. And also for patients that are experiencing very severe components of this, to be there and help them in that process too.
Thank you so much for your time today. Your leadership in this space is well recognized, and I think family docs and primary care docs everywhere will benefit from it. So thank you again. For more information and resources, please visit the CMSS website at cmss.org. Thank you.
Thank you.